One of my longtime favorite guests on Coast to Coast, of course, the late now Zechariah Sitchin, as he talked about his Earth Chronicles, the 12th planet, the Anunnaki visitations. Fascinating. But how does it turn into spirituality, and how does it affect us? In a moment, G. Creighton Bradshaw joins us. We'll talk about his work, his website, godsastronaut.com. That'll tell you a little bit about what we're talking about on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. G. Creighton Bradshaw's quest for spiritual enlightenment began at a very young age, extended through his teens into adulthood. And around that time, he began his professional teaching career. He came upon writings of James Paget. Paget's writings proved to be an epiphany for him, for they provided him with a more comprehensible and expanding picture of man's spiritual realm. That added insight that he attained from Paget's writings, enabling him to formulate his own credible and engaging perspective on man's physical and spiritual history. And we shall talk about it. Creighton's work, What About God? Creighton, how are you? Should I say G. Creighton or just Creighton?
Creighton works okay, George.
There you go, my friend. How are you?
I'm really good. First off, I'd just like to say it's an honor to be on your show and to actually speak with you.
Well, thank you for being on the show. And producers loved it. They saw your work and they said, George, we got to get him on.
Hey, well, did you get a chance to check the website out, or you've been pretty busy yourself?
Yeah, no, we've done that, and I've been reading your book.
Oh, you did get the book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
with your special little thing, a message to me on the inside.
Oh, so great.
So thank you for that.
Well, like I said, I followed art all the way through. My father started me, and I remember when you started in 2003. I think is it January about that time?
I started full-time January 2003, part-time back around 2001. I can't believe where the time has gone, Creighton. It's amazing. And you're in Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so, because the Federal Express guy was knocking on my door with your book. And I was going to tell him, don't you know I get off the air at 4 a.m. in St. Louis? But he doesn't care.
No.
Anyways, tell me a little bit about Paget. Who is James Paget?
Now, I ran into Paget in 1977 when the internet was just starting, when you figure it. And he's an individual that by no means has any infamy or destiny, but he's a man that was blessed with the opportunity to impart upon man the true spiritual teachings of Jesus. And so what happened with him was, I think he was like about 30 years old when his wife died in 1914, he went to a seance, and they told him that he had this ability to communicate with the dead.
Uh-huh.
He didn't really believe this because he was a lawyer and basically didn't really have much of a religious background outside of just being kind of an orthodox person. And over time, he actually learned how to do, it's kind of like automatic writing, where she was writing through him.
So he didn't think he had the ability.
No.
They all knew he did.
Yeah. And so he was actually quite shocked. First, he was getting these little markings, et cetera, et cetera. And then he started, getting a message. And then it said, Helen. And of course, he's doubting himself, really unsure if this is true. So he keeps going. So we're talking probably months going on here. And then she starts talking about religious stuff. And she keeps saying everything that we've learned is wrong from church, etc. Now he's kind of wondering, who's he talking with? And she says, no, you're missing the whole story of what's being presented here. She goes, this is a world where I can progress through heaven, and there is actually hell. And he's going, hell? She goes, no, seriously, you can actually be caught in a number of these.
Many.
So eventually he starts getting messages from Jesus. And of course he doubts this totally. And then Jesus starts to tell him about the other side. And then Helen also does the same.
And was his whole career then, did he steer it in that direction?
He stayed as a lawyer. And then eventually his writings were taken down. And that's where I found them on the internet.
What do you mean they were taken down? What happened?
After a while, he figured out what was important, and he started talking to other people. And they said, hey, we got to kind of take these messages and put them down. And it ended up in a collection of writings.
Okay.
The angelic writings And I haven't really even checked back with them, if even if they're on the internet anymore. But it's a collection of him, what Jesus had to say, and then how he talks about God, Jesus, and the various heavens and hells.
Is James still with us, or has he passed on?
No, he passed a long time ago. So.
Oh, he did. Okay. Are you familiar with the work, Creighton, on Zechariah Sitchin's work?
Yes. Love okay. Sitchin. Love what right. Sitchin has.
Because of the, there's an echo here of work between what he did and what you did. It's somewhat similar. Give me your take on the Anunnaki.
The Anunnaki? Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, I bow down to Sitchin and his work. And same with von Daniken. This okay. We wouldn't have the knowledge that we have now without those two. And
no,
they are a group of people that appeared on this planet a long, long time ago, and they came here at first as one individual who came looking for gold. And it's kind of a weird thing when you think about it. But their atmosphere on their planet, which was Nibiru, was actually in danger. And they had tried, I think, according to Sitchin, tried to detonate a couple of volcanoes to kind of spur the void that was in their atmosphere that was happening, and didn't work. And then they realized that I think his name was Alalu, decided he would bomb out towards the rock planets in our solar system, as their planet revolves around our sun. But it takes them 3,600 years to do it.
It's way out there. You know, I've interviewed astronomers. I've asked them to look for this thing, but they either haven't or they can't find it. You know, I even gave, like, David Darling, he's a planetary mm-hmm. scientist, the elliptical orbit of where this planet could be based on Sitchin's work. And I guess they can't find it. Maybe it's just too far away right now.
Well, you know, what's an interesting concept is there's a new theory out there. It's electric universe. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, an electric universe is interesting because they actually state that if you are next to a brown giant, right, which is basically Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, that these things give off ultraviolet light, which is exactly what plants need to live, and that you could actually, if you were on Earth, be next to them. Ta-da! And you could live. And so it is very possible that Nibiru is actually next to a brown giant, and that this is what is coming around, and that's why it takes so long. And that maybe it is around the other sun, because every sun is binary.
So well, I believe there's something out there.
Something. And did the Americans, I thought, 5 years, 8 years ago, said that there was a black object out there?
Well, yeah, that, and I remember years ago, there was a report in the media that there was another object out there. So something's out there.
Yeah.
And what I don't know is whether it affects the planet or not in terms of Earth changes.
According to Sitchin, it did, that it, when it came in close, and that's what caused the first flood, which is quite interesting. If we are missing some of the things, what if Atlantis was around and that is what caused it to go down?
Well, that's true. So let me ask you then about Darwin versus creationism. And of course, as you know, it's still a furor in the schools. They don't want to talk about creationism. Where do you stand there?
It does exist. The idea of evolution exists. The creator created what goes, and that the planets actually can get animals and organisms existing on them, and that they will evolve. But in our situation, someone came and tweaked us. They tweaked an animal that was here, a hominid. It is possible that the hominid could actually get to some form of a level like us, but I think we got tweaked. So,
and there's no reason then. There's no reason why you can't have evolution and creationism at the same time.
That's exactly, I agree. You can have both together.
Engineer for NASA claims he got fired because he kept telling his colleagues, maybe more than they wanted to hear, about intelligent design in the universe. And his whole contention for his lawsuit against NASA is that that's why they dumped him, because he just kept talking about it. So we'll find out. There should be a ruling any day now from the judge about it.
Well, I wonder how they'll even come to
a decision, a verdict. Yeah.
You're almost getting back into the into that religious thing where the Catholic churches and them are, and all of them wondering, waiting.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Creighton Bradshaw. Tell me about you.
Well, grew up with two wonderful parents. Like I said, my father got me into this type of, you know, KC, et cetera, at a young age. I follow football, love soccer, collect comic books. I have a beautiful collection of Golden Age books. Nothing like an action or a Detective 27, but a few really keys in 1939 and stuff like that. So,
I wish I still had my old comic books.
Seriously, yeah.
I had them all. One of them, I think, just went for $50,000, Creighton, at an auction.
Oh, I just watched a Action One go for about $1.2 million.
What are yours?
In really nice shape.
How much do you think yours are worth?
Getting in, probably a couple of them would run about $18,000 apiece. Because
really?
They're so rare. There's only probably 40 of them in the world, and probably 11 of them unrestored.
You going to keep them?
Oh, yeah, for a while. I think the couple of the characters, like one is the Sandman, he's probably got another maybe 5, 6, 7 years, and then he'll just explode. Because he's 2 months after Batman, and he's such a cool character. He's just this rich guy that has a little gas gun and a gas mask and kind of like Batman in a way, right?
We've got to get you on again to talk about comic books.
They're a social cultural thing, and they hold their value just because of World War II.
Matter of fact, I was just asked by some comic book companies, Marvel Comics. They're doing a major series on the Mayans in a comic book fashion, and they want us to interview some of the players involved in developing.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, it brings language back to the children. We can't have the kids just sitting on computers. I mean, it's bad enough that a lot of them aren't getting out there and running and playing and climbing trees and doing the things that actually allow them to socialize, get them back into reading. I mean, the parents have to be quite, you know, knowledgeable, look at the books to see about the violence that's presented in some of them. So,
Creighton, not everybody who believes in intelligent design believes that there are other people, other intelligent life in the universe. They think, some of them think, that we are it. I want to get your take. Where are you on this?
It scares them. There is other life out there. When you figure that, what did they say, in our solar system? I mean, sorry, in our galaxy alone, there's like 100 million suns/stars and solar systems. I think long ago, George, it was easy for the church and everyone to go and look at something and say, well, no, doesn't exist, and then no one could really look into it. But now with the internet and everything, and there are so many brilliant people out there. I was telling some people about, even with music, we didn't think there were very talented people out there that could play music and play guitar and all this. And now we know that there's hundreds of thousands of people. It's just they haven't got a band together that went the right way. So it's the same thing when it comes to humanity and looking that there are other beings out there. It just scares us because we hear alien, we keep thinking that they're these creatures that are scary. What if they're not? What if they're based off them?
Well, that's true. I mean, who knows? But I agree with you that, you know, there is life in the universe. It's everywhere. It's probably teeming. And again, when old mom brought me a book called We Are Not Alone by the New York Times science writer at the time, Walter Sullivan, and I just digested that. I tore it apart.
Yeah.
And I realized that there's something here. There's a bigger story afoot. Yet at the time, organized religion didn't want anything to do with that. Well, now at least I see where the Catholic Church is kind of tempering that a little bit, saying that, you know, a belief in extraterrestrial life does not negate a belief in God, which I agree with. But at least it's kind of refreshing to see that they're starting to admit that there could be that possibility.
Well, the problem lies for a lot of people. They'll pick up the Bible, they'll pick up the Quran, and that's all they know. And then all of a sudden, someone else is coming up and pulling up books of the Apocrypha going, oh, did you know there's a first and second book of Adam and Eve? I know people that do not realize that the first books of Genesis are the books of Noah. They don't even know this. They go, what? Oh, yeah, they're numbered. There's actually, with the Apocrypha, there's seven of those. And there's a book called The Book of Enoch, and only the Ethiopians have it. There's two of them, the Ethiopian and the there's another one. Kind of slips my mind. Enoch 1 and 2. And they talk of the book of Genesis deals with when the sons of God came on down onto the daughters of men. These things go into detail. Well, the book of Genesis only deals in a short little span and says when, you know, in the times of this and this and this, and then when the sons of God came in down onto the daughters of men and they had children with them, and then God's upset and there's giants, and that's it.
I'm going to get the philosophical with you here for a moment, Creighton, sure. But I want to get your take on why you think we as human beings are here.
Why we here?
Mm-hmm.
We were.
Why are we here?
Are you just talking specifically us on this planet?
Yeah. What are we here for?
We were created as workers for the Anunnaki, and over time, and some of the weird things that have happened here, we were able to have children, and we scared the Anunnaki very much because one of the leaders was very fearful of that. And over time, we actually existed and got through all the calamities, and they allowed us to, you know, the city of Kish is the first city that was supposed to be run by humans, and they've allowed us to stay, but I think they're still watching us.
So Sitchin's theory, and you agree with him, that,
yes.
that the Anunnaki created man in order to mine their gold because they were too lazy to work, so they wanted us.
They ran into the problem was they got upset. You had different groups that came. So they had the Igigi, IGI.GI. The Sumerians take the language that the Anunnaki used. It's quite different. Like Eden is E.DIN, the E.DIN. So the Igigi come, and they are going to be transporting all the gold, which they found in the ground in Africa. There's another group that toils in the mines and dig the mines. They are the ones that get upset very quickly, and they start to revolt. And they are led by one of the two. There's a brother, which is E.A. Enkai, and then there's another one called Enlil, and they're kind of in charge. And between them, man kind of is created and kind of separated between the two. And it's quite interesting when it comes down that the workers get very upset. They say, hey, the guys up top are doing nothing. We're toiling in this hell because it's hot. And Enkai and Enlil get together, and then they decide that, hey, there's a hominid here. It's walking around. We will cross our genetics with them, and we will make a worker. And it did work, but according to Sitchin, there were a lot of problems with sometimes they had two faces, and oh, it was a mess, and it took a while for them to do it, but they pulled it off.
So, but what you're saying, though, is because we were created, as Sitchin says, mm-hmm. to be workers,
yeah.
Does that negate any possibility that we have some spiritual, you know, enlightenment, and that there's a reason why we're in this universe?
Well, that comes from the soul. The soul exists in the universe. It was created by God. It was created in God's image. So it's a soul like the God, but it never got part of God. It was never divine. The promise was that when a creature exists that can actually understand and conceptualize its own soul, itself, when the soul goes into the body and it can understand it and conceptualize it, it is allowed to have a soul. And that is what the Anunnaki were given.
All right, hold on. Hold on for a second, Creighton. Hold on. We're going to come right back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you live in the greater Los Angeles area, here's something for you. The California Earthquake Authority, our affiliate, KFI AM 640, and the American Red Cross, they are joining forces to send an urgent message to get prepared California. So something's going on. This initiative is to help prepare the state for the next damaging disaster. Now, to raise money for this important cause, from now until April 27th, you can bid on dinner with a number of hosts on KFI, including me, at Morton's in Burbank, following a tour of the KFI studios on Thursday, June 14th. A pair of tickets goes to the highest bidder. Now, for bidding details and information, just log on to KFIAM640.com, KFIAM640.com, and in the search, look for Red Cross. Put in Red Cross. Red Cross. 100% of the proceeds go to disaster preparedness and relief here in the California area. And we'll be back in a moment. And we're back with Creighton Bradshaw. We're talking about his work, What About God? And here we go. Creighton, let me ask you that question, of course. What is God? Who is God, in your opinion?
My opinion? It is everything that is out there in space and everything out there in the spiritual realm. It is all-encompassing. It is soul. We are an aspect of. We're the image. We are soul. It is soul. It's every thought, every concept that exists down here is there already. It is all that is the universe. It is much more than we have to move towards the spiritual realm. When we get out of our body, we'll have a better conceptualized view of what it is, because it is light. Everything here is kind of like, have you ever read Plato's the Allegory of the Cave?
Mm-hmm.
And the Allegory of the Cave is quite interesting, because man is chained, and he sees a fire, and he sees kind of shadows of everything. So this is a shadow of a monkey, of a tiger, and he sees them as the true form. But once the chain is cut and he goes outside into the light, he starts to see that the only true form exists in heaven, which of course is God, because it, the only true form is it, because it has the love. And that's the things that we're kind of lacking here. So it is everything out there, but it's also the purity of light and energy. And that's what we're aspiring to understand.
How did it start? How did God start?
Exactly, it says in the Bible, and in the beginning, there was darkness, and there was a void. And this void just was there, and it eventually got a consciousness of itself, which is a bizarre concept. But I thought about this and thought about it, and some people said, well, it's always existed. Well, nothing's always existed. It's not possible. But there was darkness once, and this darkness got a consciousness. It just started it being there, it just became. And that's why I say with God is that it is all-encompassing. Once it understood itself, just like us, when we are, think of us as when we were little children. I mean, you and I are much older, so it's hard for us to go back that far. But when you actually think back, you know, when kids are like 7 years old, you go, man, 3 years ago, you were just bobbling and wobbling around. You didn't know anything. Same concept, I think. Mm. When we understand that it is so all-encompassing of its understanding, because it's never been physical, it was just spirit. And that's so hard for us to conceptualize.
What if something made God? Is that possible?
Very possible. But what that one thing is would still have to be spiritual, because that's what we're striving to become, is as we move away from the physical. Remember, it's quite interesting. I heard people go, well, you're a soul in a, you're a body with a soul. No, I'm not. I'm a soul with a body. The soul existed first. The body, the soul ran into its problem because it sinned. The soul was supposed to go into bodies, because incarnating is the most important thing. The soul is an aspect of God. It does not have God's divinity with it. The divinity is what makes God God, but we don't have that. We had the promise. If we followed, so the original soul split into two, male and female. So now we know that God is male and female, because, and I'm sure there's women and men listening right now just shaking their head going, yeah, I understand when I think about the female or the male and what how they drive us crazy. Well, when the soul split, they both came down and they went into these organisms that could conceptualize the soul. Other than that, it's going to make no sense. The organism could conceptualize it, but the soul was allowed to leave. And the angels, of course, were created before us. They are divine. They are an exact image of God, because they're divine. They are of God. And we could go visit them. We could leave. We could go see the animals. We could go into the universe, etc. But when we sinned, our selfishness created basically moving away from God, and God could not have us around because it is purity, it is divinity, and we flawed. Our problem lied in is that we got stuck into the body. That was our problem. We couldn't leave anymore.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, because the problem lies then is prior to this, we were allowed to leave our body, so we weren't getting caught up in the animalistic passions of the animal. Plato wrote about passion versus reason, the soul versus the body. And when I was studying this as a young adult, I was kind of always wondering what he was trying to get at. Well, the soul, once it's in the body and it can't get out, it's now fighting with the animal and its passions. And it found that it just could not deal with it. And once the body passes on, the physical body, and the spirit soul is actually able to leave, it's much easier for it to function. But it's very difficult because the animal has the passions. It's just totally about natural selection. And the soul was really having a hard time competing. And basically, God, once they sinned, just shook his head or its head and just went, "Oh my God, what were you thinking? This was your gift because I wanted you to follow me, become divine like me." And the whole idea of divinity is that you get the Christ principle coming from the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people listening, they're going, "Oh my Lord, this person's speaking very similar tongue." Yes, I am. The Holy Spirit's important. It brings the Christ principle into us, which allows us to become divine. Because go on.
No. You finish, and I've got to ask.
Well, I was just saying that once the Christ principle is in us, just like Jesus had, it allows us to move ourselves towards the Creator. We give up ourselves. You know how difficult that is to actually give up everything of yourself and move towards it and go, "I don't need this anymore. I will follow its direction." That was
The name of your website is called God's Astronaut. How come?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Oh, I use that because basically with Zachariah Sitchin and, of course, Von Daniken, I believe the astronauts that came here, the Anunnaki, were just that. They're astronauts. And I think we're astronauts. We got to the moon. We certainly have to go further than this. And we will be able to, George. If we can go to another planet and find a hominid, we can do the same. And we can create something, and then a soul will go into it, and it will be bonded to that planet. Just as our souls are bonded to this planet. The Anunnaki are bonded to the Nibiru, so their spiritual realm extends off of it. It's a weird, when we think of heaven and hell, we see, people always go, "Well, heaven's above and hell's below." No, they're not. They're in the same plane with us. They're on the earth plane. So when you incarnate, which is one of the greatest things you could ever do, ever, if you incarnate and then pass away, you have accomplished your task as a human being. You still can learn and progress on the other side. This is why it makes more sense than a lot of reincarnationist views where people go, "Oh, well, that child died at 6 months. Oh, well, it'll have to come back now maybe as like a duck or a dog so it can learn." No, you incarnated. You have split into two souls. You will meet up someday in the spiritual realm when you're at the same level together, but you've incarnated, and that is the most important thing.
I want to talk about the devil for a moment, Craig, because you've investigated this, you've seen this, you've weighed good and evil. Why do we have this devil? You know, if this universe was so powerful, so almighty, why create this evil, this entity?
Church did it.
Aha. Tell me more.
From a spiritual level, Satan.
You just sounded like Wilbur the horse right there.
I know. It's because it's almost disgusting at times, but yet there are so many people out there.
Mr. Ed was the horse. Wilbur was the owner, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Ed. I mean, I still remember Mr. Ed just at when I started watching television, eh? So a lot of people when they hold religion so close, they want to hold on to this. There's an evil out there. It's what leads me. It's what, no, no. There's, God is divine. And I know we don't want to just focus on just that, but God is divinity. Angels. Wait,
but are you saying there's no evil?
There is evil. Evil spirits. Souls that are, that that are twisted. Yes. Yes. Guaranteed. And they will live in the hells. And they will come and they will, because Earth is surrounded by the Earth plane. When we die, that's where we go, most people. And you're going to be in an area of light, or you will be in an area of darkness. And so these evil spirits can come here and understand the Creator is so amazing that every area that exists in the spirit realm, there's a level of happiness. Understand, like, I know people don't want to talk about bars and stuff, but, you know, you go to a bar and there's, you know, there's the regulars in that, and it's very pathetic, but they can actually have happiness there. And this is the same in the hell. So we, our churches, grab the hold of this evilness that, yeah, there are evil spirits, but as an actual spirit, no. God is divine, angels are divine, but the history of the Anunnaki leads us to the concept.
But you don't, you do not believe then in Satan. If there's no devil, there's no Satan. What about the, what about these so-called fallen angels?
No, they don't exist. They're evil spirits that are coming here and they're leading people astray. There's no possible way that once you have God in you, that's the idea of being divine. You have, you are part of it with you. There's no possible way. You are divine. You are in the celestial spheres. You are not coming back. You are content. You are happy. It's quite similar to people that actually just, they hang out with their friends for years and all of a sudden they get married and they're quite happy. They found their security. It's the same with that. And we've really based a lot of the Anunnaki history and the church is taking it.
So you don't think there's this evil entity that we call the devil, we being the world, that we call the devil, that influences people, that makes them do bad things?
No. There are evil spirits that do. What people need to understand are is the spirit realm. There are the spiritual spheres and the celestial spheres. Celestial is for the angelic, the ones that get the Holy Spirit into them. They become divine. They have the Christ principle in them. They are now divine. They are in the celestial spheres. The rest of us are in the spiritual spheres. And there are levels of light and dark. And what it is your soul is conditioned. So when it goes, the spiritual spheres are a condition of your soul and they're a place. I always say to people, you know, when they used to get out and go to places, maybe a party, etc., or they go to somewhere, they just, you go into this house and you know you don't belong. You have to leave. It's not, it doesn't feel properly. That is what happens when you pass on. You meet your friends and everyone greets you, and then for the first time you are alone, all alone, and you will go where your soul is conditioned. Hitler could not go into the light. He went into the hells, the layers of the hells, and it has to go like every other soul. It has to atone for what it's done. And you get these memories that come. And if you don't want to, you'll just stay where you are. And you will meet people that are very similar to you. And they will, you know, be able to kind of find some happiness because they don't know any more happiness than what they experience. And other souls will come down and try to bring them up. That's why Jesus went to hell when he died.
Okay, but you believe in angels.
They do exist. They're divine. They're a separate thing, yes. But they would never fall, George. They're not Nicolas Cage, who was a great comic book collector. You heard about his collection was
The City of Angels, by the way.
Yes, but his comic collection was absolutely amazing. Anyway, I digress. But he just falls in love with you. They don't have that. We got the emotion. We're human. We have the emotion. We have the animal. That is where we weren't supposed to be, George. God created it so we wouldn't. We could move out of our bodies. Ruth Montgomery. You know Ruth Montgomery?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know she's into reincarnation, but her beauty of her stuff was saying how man was getting stuck in these animals and they could leave, the souls could leave these bodies. Well, we're in these bodies are getting caught with emotion. You can't put human emotions on angels and on God. You can't, because they don't have that. They're given that up to be part of God. It's easy to have the fallen angels and wars in heaven. I mean, I know people say, well, God fought on our side. Really? That's like saying that when all the soldiers from the United States go and fought in Afghanistan and all these people died in Afghanistan, that they're evil? And God's on our side? That doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's that religious thing that, you know, people forget, the Catholic Church and them, you know, they did fight wars.
Well, so. Christianity fought wars a long time ago.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
In the name
over
of
Jerusalem.
They slaughtered thousands, if not more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. But, you know, when we get the phone calls, though, you're going to create a little firestorm here, not believing in the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for that?
Evil spirits. There's no doubt about them influencing. And that is why you're in relationships with people, so that, you know, when they get this urge, I've got to go gamble and stuff. No, you don't. And you hold them and say, no, you don't. And you can fight them off with it, because the spirits come here. The earth planes work that they surround us, earth. And when you move, there's seven levels of heaven. And the first five are all beautiful, and you're learning things all the time new. Six is the actual kingdom of the perfect man, who, what we're saying is that when God created the souls and they went into the first bodies, they didn't know sin. They didn't.
Well, what about possession, though, Creighton? What about people who are possessed?
Evil spirit.
All right, what's your definition then? What's your definition of an evil spirit?
An evil spirit is a soul that on this planet has twisted itself because it let the physical body, the animal, dominate it so much that by the time it was finished and the body left, it was tortured. And so it goes to the other side. It is now in the hells. You ever see a beautiful movie called What Dreams May Come?
With the Robin Williams.
Yeah. Sure. Did you see where his wife goes in hell when she...
Yes. And he's stepping on all of these people that are in the mud of hell.
Right? Her house was alone. This brilliance. It's almost exactly what Padgett wrote about. It's almost like that man wrote that from there. And you're all alone. And if you can't deal, remember, and he says to her, he says, it's me. And she just gets so frustrated when she sees the spider, and she's so lost in her own sorrow that if she won't deal with it, she's done. And then these souls will come to earth, and they want to experience things, which they're not there as much. And so, yeah, if they can get into a body and go gamble and do these things, yes. So when I've heard people even say that, you know, you hear someone go, I don't know what I did. I'm almost sad to say that, you know what, you actually could have been possessed, and that they walked into your body and took it over.
We'll get some takes on the phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about... What about God?